For many of you, working for a company or someone else is a great financial foundation and security for your life and your family. However, it's always smart to think about diversifying your income streams and building financial independence. And so today, I want to break down the three income streams that are easiest to build while still an employee. Welcome to Financially Free, the show dedicated to helping you grow your wealth and experience financial freedom. I'm Julia Carlson, author, CEO, and founder of a wealth management firm, as well as a financial advisor, bringing you over 25 years of experience to help you win with money. Join me each week to shift your mindset and relationship with money, as well as learn practical strategies to grow your wealth. Number one, income-producing investments, also known as dividend-paying stocks and interest-paying bonds. So let's talk about that. Stocks, also known as equities, are investments you can buy fractional shares in if they are traded on the public stock market. These are investments that are often included in your 401k, or your employer-sponsored retirement plan. You can also purchase these stocks outside of your retirement in a non-retirement account. And so this is what I'm talking about in this number one opportunity. You can find stocks that pay steady, predictable income, usually quarterly, and that they have been doing this for years. So these are companies that are very well known. They're usually very large in size, and they create a powerful way to create income. Now, it's important to understand when you're investing in stocks that the value of these stocks go up and down. Every day that the market is open, these stocks fluctuate in value. So if you put money in, the next day, that value could either be greater or less than. Okay, so no investment in an equity in a stock is guaranteed, but you can look back and see over history the performance of this stock of these equities. There's also a way to invest in a lot of these dividend-paying stocks all at once, and that's what's called either a mutual fund or an ETF, exchange-traded fund. So instead of having to choose one or two dividend-paying stocks, you essentially give your money over to a money manager, and they will pick the dividend-paying stocks inside that fund. So you would be looking for a dividend-paying ETF or a dividend-paying stock mutual fund. Okay, so opposite stocks would be bonds. So the same companies out there issue shares of equity, issue shares of stock, allow you as an investor to own a little piece of the company. That's a stock. Opposite that, they allow you to lend money to the company. And that is what's called a bond. So a bond is when you're saying, okay, I'm going to give you some of my money. And in exchange for that, the company pays you interest. And then over time, they're going to pay you interest until the maturity of that bond. And then at that point, you would get your money back. Now, just like stocks, bonds are not guaranteed, but they don't have the same fluctuation as the stock. Okay, so bonds are more predictable. They often pay interest monthly. So as an investor, you can go out and buy a bond, single, or you can buy bonds inside a fund, a mutual fund, an ETF, a whole bunch of bonds that pay you a monthly income stream. And currently, in current trends, these are around 5 or 6% interest, which nowadays is pretty darn good for a return on your investment. Now, here is a pro tip. When you are accumulating investments, when you're accumulating money, working towards your financial future, it is best to set the interest or the dividends on automatic reinvestment. So when you are just accumulating the money every month or every quarter, when they post interest or dividends, you want that money to go back into the investment to buy more shares. This will help you compound your investments and allow your money to work for you and keep working for you. Because when you're first starting out, you're not going to be able to depend on this income if you don't have a lot of money to start with. So it's best to keep investing every month. As those dividends and interest come in, buy more shares. Keep going, keep going. And at some point, your investment, your nest egg, instead of reinvesting monthly or quarterly, you can turn on the income, is what we call it. So turning on the income is, hey, don't reinvest that. Send that to me every month so I can spend some of that money. And here's the cool thing, because it's non-retirement, you can turn on the income, turn off the income. You can invest this month and not invest next month. So it's very flexible how you save and grow and use these funds. So this is something that you can build this income stream over time, use it 1 year, don't use it the next, and really set yourself up for a strong income stream in the future. With investments, there are no guarantees. So you have to really do your due diligence and figure out what fund has a really great track record and it's investing in quality investments that have a strong future for them. So if this is something you need help with, you know, feel free to reach out to me and I can give you some more information. Okay, so number two income stream is rental real estate. So this could be either residential real estate, where you have a rental, a short-term rental, a more longer-term rental, or somewhere in between. There's a lot of opportunities nowadays. Or it could be commercial property, where you are renting commercial property to a business owner. Basically, two different kinds of rental real estate, residential or commercial. Now, this is a great income stream to develop, especially if you are a employee, a W-2 salaried individual, because it's one of the only few income streams that's tax advantaged. So what is tax advantage? What that means is, let's say you get $1,000 a month off of your rental real estate. So at the end of the year, you get $12,000. But you paid taxes of $1,000. Let's say you have utilities and there's something called depreciation. So in real estate, the government allows us to take the structure on that real estate, take the value of it. Let's say the value of your structure on your property is $100,000 and that depreciates out over 25 years. So that is $1,000 a year for 25 years that you would get to depreciate. And so on your taxes, you don't pay taxes on $12,000. You pay taxes on the net amount, which is the $12,000 minus the $1,000 for taxes, minus all the utilities you paid, minus the depreciation. Even though you didn't pay anything, you get to depreciate that. And so let's say your net income is $8,000. So you receive $12,000, but on your tax return, you only pay taxes on $8,000. So that is tax advantaged income. We like that. And as a W-2 employee, rental real estate is a way for you to start getting deductions against your W-2 income, because there's not much you can do to offset W-2 income. So I have seen people accumulate rental real estate in a variety of ways. So it could be maybe you bought a starter home and now you're upgrading into a nicer home. You have more kids, you're more established, there's more income coming in. One idea is to keep that starter home and rent it out. And then you would need to save a down payment for that new home instead of selling one and moving it into the new home. So that's one idea. Another idea is, as you find a life partner and you guys decide to start doing life together and move in together, maybe you own previous homes, maybe don't sell those, maybe keep those and purchase a new home together. Very common where a newly married couple that's older in life, they have two rental real estates from homes that they each owned before they were together. So again, another creative way to keep those assets, create an income from them, and then buy a new home together. So those are just some new ideas to consider as you go along your life. I would say a word of caution around rental real estate is you want to make sure that you have positive cash flow in these rentals, that your expenses, whether you have a mortgage on it, your real estate taxes, your insurance, all the things that our expenses of real estate, you want to make sure that you have that very well covered with the income that's coming in. You also want to make sure that your rentals have their own emergency fund. So do not use all of the income that's coming in from your rentals. You want to make sure that you keep some of that income in an account where you're building an emergency fund. If something breaks, if you need to get a new fridge, if you name it, all things happen in home ownership. So it's really crucial that you save some of that income and create a safety net for your rental. All right, number three, income could be a side hustle. We've all heard the word side hustle, and here's the deal. It doesn't really have to be a hustle. A side hustle usually relates to a passion business that you're really excited about, but it doesn't have to be that. It could be something that you're simply an independent contractor and you get 1099 independent contractor income. This could be an Uber driver. This could be a home delivery service. This could be something that you're creating. It could be a personal chef. There are a lot of passions and hobbies and special talents that we all have that could easily turn into an income generating opportunity for you. Here's another cool thing that I've seen lots of clients do as they go off and travel the world. They actually rent out their own home through Airbnb or VRBO or Furnish Finder, any of these services. So they are making income as they are out traveling the world. So that's a pretty cool way to get all of your expenses paid or even some of your travel paid while you're living your best life. Here's the deal. You name it, whatever that skill is, whatever you want to create, you can create it. And you can make money doing it. This is the culture we live in today. Where there is a will, there is a way. All right, so we've talked about a lot of different ways that you can start generating income. My question for you is, which income stream are you going to focus on building first this week? If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to leave a rating wherever you listen to podcasts and follow Financially Free to stay up to date with future episodes. I'll see you next week.